great bunch of people coming out after such a fantastically big weekend. Let's go straight into the scripture. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And finally, in prayer and in spirit, on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests, with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Father, I just pray that your word, even this night, would be clear. And Father, we would not go out with just head knowledge, but we'd go out with knowledge that we can do, that we can act upon. And that, Father, in acting upon your word, we would see breakthrough in our lives. We would see victory, even as your word says we will. And Father, we would have life, even as your word says we will. And Father, I'm just so conscious in talking about this subject that the enemy hates it, and would love to divert and stop people from achieving the goal of seeing life in abundance. And so, Father, I pray that you would strengthen each person as they put on the armor of God. Father, as they put on their helmet. Father, as they put on their breastplate. Lord, as they put on their belt, as they wear their feet shod with your preparation of peace. As they hold firm with the shield. Lord God, as they pick up their sword. Lord, I pray that you would overshadow each person, that they would know victory, that they would know release, even in their lives. We pray this in Jesus' lovely name. Amen. Okay, so the first point of that scripture, be strong. So often when we talk this subject through, people don't understand that word strong. And I think the greatest scripture I can think of in the word strong is the one that's in Joshua. It says, be strong and of good courage. Every place that you put the sole of your feet, I'll give you. Second point we saw in the first week was to put on the full armor of God. And I know, again, as I look out there, that there's nobody naked and that you've got all your clothes on. Well, God wants us to do the same with our armor, to put on the full armor of God. I'm going to keep on repeating these things because I want you to get it into your brain box. And then thirdly, that we have an enemy and that we are to know who our enemy is, but more than that, we're to know that we are in victory over our enemy. And you just read the last page of the book and you'll know all about that. Jesus tells us about it in Luke 10:19. He says that he has given us power and authority over all the works of darkness, and nothing in any way shall harm us. And then finally, having done all, stand. I like that, and I've said it before, I'll say it again. That scripture encourages me because there's times in our lives when we've done everything that we know, everything we can think of, and nothing seems to be working. But God's word says, having done all, just stand. Don't give in. Don't fall back. Don't walk away. Just stand. Just stand. Just stand. And that, to me, encourages me in an incredible way, because there are times in our lives when God needs to align other things. He's working. You know, we have that scripture where Daniel prayed and it took 30 days, I think it was, for that prayer to be answered. And it wasn't that it took 30 days for it to be answered. It took 30 days for the prayer that was answered, as soon as it was uttered, to break through the powers of darkness that were trying to resist that prayer from being answered. So we looked at the first piece of clothing. Now, how am I going to do this with holding a microphone? We put on the helmet of salvation. Okay, now, for those of you that haven't been coming, bad luck.
Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Phil, is that mic of mine not working? Is this gone funny?
It's dead.
It's dead. Is it dead because it's got no battery or what? Don't know. Then I don't know why I'm wearing this thing. Okay, so
helmet of salvation covers our mind. Why don't you all stand? Let's do it. If I'm going to look like an idiot, you might as well look like idiots too. Okay, so let's do it. Helmet of salvation covers our mind. Okay, remember that the first place that the enemy will always attack is our mind. The battleground of the enemy is our mind. If he can tell us that we're not saved, then he's got us. And that's where he's going to go. I'll guarantee you that every time you do anything, it starts in your thoughts. Sow a thought, reap a deed, reap an act. Sow an act, reap a habit, reap a lifestyle. A lifestyle always starts with a thought. And so if you can get the helmet of salvation on, and you can wear that helmet of salvation, you look like idiots. You're covering your mind. So then you put the breastplate of righteousness on. That's it. Okay, the breastplate of righteousness covers our heart. Last week we talked about that, and as we put the breastplate of righteousness on, it's actually saying to ourselves that God has credited us righteousness because of his Son. Not our own righteousness, but I am made right in God's standing because of what Jesus did. My righteousness is filthy rags, but Christ doesn't look at me. God doesn't look at me. He looks at what Christ has done for me. And even though it is true that we are unworthy, the truth of the matter is that we're worthy because of what Christ has done. We're not worthy to be saved, but Jesus died for us that we could be saved. Mike, can you come and help me with this belt? It's too heavy for me, Mike. You've got to come up here, Mike. Poor Mike. Okay, so the next bit we're going to look at is the belt of truth. You guys put your belts on, please. You're right, Mike. Do it nicely, Mike. Careful, Mike. It's too tight, Mike. Oh, fair dinkum, Mike. You're right, Mike. Thanks. Do you wear this all the time, Mike? Mike? Okay, so the third piece of armour that we're going to look at tonight, the belt of truth, holds up our pants. Okay, and it actually does. If your pants fall down, then you're hobbled, you can't walk. I remember the first time I ever saw anything on television that had to do with a demonstration was when the Beatles came to town. Now, that's a long time ago. I can't remember, 1960-something. And there was black and white television at that time. Wow, that is old. But there was footage of the police on horseback rounding up some drunks. And rather than putting them into a paddy wagon, they just ripped their pants down. So they couldn't walk, so they couldn't run away. And if you think about it, if the enemy can't get our head, and he can't get our heart, then he's going to hinder our walk to the point that we can't do the things that God wants us to do. Why don't you take your seats? So this is the third piece of armor that we're going to look at. In Ephesians it says, therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Let's have a look at that picture. Okay, in the natural, the belt was used to hold the soldier's clothing next to his body. You can see that this belt is actually holding my breastplate of righteousness. It was used to keep everything tight. It was used to stop the clothing of the soldier, the Roman soldier, from flapping around and hindering them or getting in the way. It was also used to hold the sword. There was a scabbard on the belt, and in that scabbard was the sword. And so just as much as this belt has all the tools I need to do the job, I don't know how to work them all, but it's got all the tools to do the job. Look, string lines, and there was a hammer somewhere and a chisel. All the tools that are needed to do the job. The other thing, and have a look at the picture on the right, there were some dangly bits. And those were made of brass. And those bits actually hung down over the front of the soldier to protect his vital organs. Now, we think that's very funny. I don't think that I'd like to stand in front of a spear. coming at me, but that was what it was for. And again, if we don't have the belt of truth on, then our vital organs are going to be attacked, or can be attacked, to the point that we won't be able to walk, we won't be able to do the things that God wants us to do. If the enemy can't get our head, as I said, if he can't get our heart, then he'll attack our walk and try and hinder us from being able to do the things that God wants us to do. So we need to understand what the belt of truth is all about. As Christians, the Bible says we are to test all things and then hold only to those things which are good. Talking about the truth, we are to test all things, discarding those things that aren't truth. We know from the first week I put up on the board that picture of Satan and Jesus. Love, fear, truth, lies. Satan is the father of lies. And so we know that the Bible says there's no good thing in him. God is truth. Jesus is truth. The word is truth. We are to hold fast to the truth. And so we are to test things to see whether it's true. The Bible says that by thy fruit you shall know them. What is the fruit of something that people say? What does it outwork? What does it look like? In Proverbs 3:34 it says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart so that you will find favor, good understanding, and high esteem in the sight of God. Don't forsake, don't let go of mercy and truth. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. In fact, get them as close as you possibly can so that you know. The Bereans, the Bible says in Acts 17, used to listen eagerly to Paul's messages. And then they went away, the Bible says, and they searched the scriptures day after day to see if Paul and Silas were teaching the truth. You know, we need to know how to rightly divide the word. The Bible talks about studying the word of God that we might not be ashamed. How do you know if something's not true unless you know about it? The FBI train their operatives in knowing how to know what is a counterfeit note, not by giving them counterfeit notes. They give them thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in different denominations to feel, to hold, to look at, till they get to the point where they know what is a counterfeit note or not. And they do that by knowing what a real note looks like and feels like. And we need to do the same with the Word of God. We need to know the truth. So what is the belt of truth? For me, when I think of truth, this is the passage that always comes to my mind. I don't know what comes to yours, but this is the one that stands out to me. John 8:32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now again, when we look at Scripture, and we should look at Scripture, just go back if you can, Rick, is that easy? And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You know, this morning I loved listening to Greg Burson as he talked, and Greg said things this morning that I'd never seen before, because he had soaked himself in the Word, that God had revealed things to him that we just skip over as we read. I'd read the passages, but I hadn't seen the points that he raised in a couple of his things. What do you see? What stands out to you when you look at this Scripture? Is it the word free? Is it the word truth? For me, what stands out, it's the word no. K-N-O-W, isn't that incredible? The word no. How many have the word no stand out to them? One, two, three. Good. Keep your hands down. Okay. I see those hands. And so the word no is what stands out. We need to know what it is so that we can be set free. Paul tells us that we're to put on the armor. So what are we to put on when it comes to truth? scripture in John 8:32 gives us some help there. First thing we are to do in putting on the belt of truth is to put on knowing Christ. Who is Christ? What is Christ? How does Christ work? Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now, in the first session that we did in this series, we talked a lot about the helmet of salvation. We talked a lot about knowing Christ. We talked a lot about becoming a follower of Christ. So you can't know Christ in the way that you can be set free without becoming his follower. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? But when we put on the belt of truth, when we put on knowing Christ, I think we're putting on things like his mind. Philippians says, "Let this mind be in you, which is in me." And if you read that scripture, you'll find that it's talking about his humility. It's talking about his love. It's talking about him being prepared to become a servant. We're to have the same mind of Christ. We're to put on his holy nature. We're to put on the example of, "I only do the things that my Father tells me to do." Put on the example of his incorruptible nature. Now, that's nearly impossible for us because we are sinners. But God, again, thank goodness, looks at the heart of man. If our heart is towards him, if our desire is to walk in his ways and to do his things, then we are putting on knowing Christ. And again, as I said a minute ago, "By thy fruit you shall know them." So if we have put on Christ, and if we are wearing Christ in a way that examples him, then we will have fruit. That fruit will determine that we want to be in fellowship with him. That when we're doing what we do, we won't be trying to put him in a closet. "God, this is not where you want to be right now. I'll put you over there and I'll pick you up when I come out." But wherever we go, whatever we do, we'll want to be in fellowship with him. We'll want to be obedient to his word. You can't know God and live like God wants us to live without wanting to be obedient to his word. We want to be devoted to serving him. You know, I think sometimes we put on our Sunday clothes and we put on Christ like we do that. On Sunday, I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ on Sunday. But Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, they're mine. And don't worry about the nights, God. That's mine. That's darkness. I can do what I want on those things. You know, when we become a follower, a servant, a lover of Christ, when we desire to know him, then our lives will always want to be a witness and a testimony to him. In a Revelation, it has this incredible scripture, and it's a scripture that we could open up and we can talk about all night. And really, I'm doing a Pastor Oxy tonight. I'm jumping from mountaintop to mountaintop, but this scripture challenges me. It's a scripture that is written to the seven churches. And this is the one to the church of Ephesus. It says, "Write this to Ephesus, to the angel of the church, the one with seven stars in his right fist grip, striding through the golden seven lights, circles speak." And then it says, "I see what you've done. I see your hard work, your refusal to quit. I know you can't stomach evil, that you weed out apostolic pretenders. I know your persistence. I know your courage in my cause, that you never wear out." Isn't that interesting? They're all the good things that this church does. You know, if we had that written about us, "Look, I know that you're really working hard, and I know that you don't stand for anything that's rotten. Look, I love the way you minister into the community, and I love the food that you give out, and I love the money that you give out, and I love the way you serve." But then it goes on and it says, "But this one thing that I have against you, you've walked away from your first love." Why? What's going on with you anyhow? Do you have any idea how far you've fallen? A Lucifer fall. So now turn back, recover your dearly early love. There's no time to waste, for I'm well on my way to removing your light from this golden circle. It's another point about this scripture, that there's a point in time where God will take away his lampstand, his glory, his illuminating light. I think that that would be the worst thing that could ever happen to me, that God would take away an anointing, take away the witness, that I would have disappointed him and hurt him so much that he would take that away. Imagine this church, one of the seven churches being sold. Hey, get your life right pretty quick, because if not, I'm going to have to take away the lampstand. Unfortunately, in Christian circles around our world, there's an awful lot of lampstands that have gone out because they've walked away from God's word. And then God, in his beautiful way, says, but you do have this to your credit. You hate the Nicolaitans. I hate it too. So are your ears awake? Listen, listen to the wind words. The Spirit is blowing through the church. I'm about to call each conqueror to dinner. I'm spreading a banquet of tree of life fruit, a supper plucked from God's orchard. You know, there is a time coming when God is going to call us into his banqueting house. I wonder whether we're ready. I wonder whether we have put on knowing Christ. You can't walk against God's word if you know Christ the way you should know Christ. So that's the first challenge in putting on the belt of truth. Walking in a way that glorifies Christ, in a way that serves him. The second one is that we're to put on in the sense of knowing. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Is, I think, knowing the word of God. Knowing the Logos. The Rhema is that quiet spoken word that God quickens to us in his still places. But the written word is the Logos. And we are to know the Logos. We are to know this book. You know, Bible literally stands for Basic Instruction Manual Before Leaving Earth. We ought to know the instruction manual before leaving earth. I think that knowing this has something to do with our future. In fact, I know it has. John 17:17 says, make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Now, we're going to talk, when we come to the sword, a lot more about the word of God as a weapon. However, there are some things that really need to be said right now. You know, in week one, again, we started by opening up this scripture, Isaiah 4:1. And in the day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own food, we'll wear our own apparel, only let us be called by your name to take away our reproach. In that day, the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and appealing for those of Israel who have escaped. In that day, it talks about the end times. Women, that speaks about the church. Seven, well, that's the churches of Revelation that we've talked about just a minute ago. But really, what it's opening up here is that in the day that we're living right now, there is a church within the church. There is what I would call the true church, and there is the false church. And you don't have to be blind to see it out there right now. Without judging denominations, without judging churches, there are churches out there that don't want the word. We don't want your bread. They don't want to wear the apparel, robes of righteousness, the garments of praise. They don't want to put on God's protective armor, but they do want to be called Christian, because Christian takes away reproach. And so as we talk about knowing the truth, you've got to determine right now whether you're going to be part of the true church or whether you're going to be one of the false churches. See, we have denominations out there right now. We have churches out there, and we have even ministers out there that are talking now and saying that there's parts of the Bible that don't fit for today. Yet my Bible says we're not to add to it or take away. My Bible says that all Scripture is given for reproof, for doctrine, for instruction. There's some out there that would say that there's things that people are doing now is okay. And they're justifying it by man's thinking, not by judging it through the Word of God. We live in an age where the Word of God is being compromised, where it's being watered down. Obviously, if we water down God's Word, if we compromise God's Word, then we're in short taking off the belt of truth. And we will not be protected. We will not be covered. The Word is, to me, in engineering terms, my go gauge and my no-go gauge. When I want to know whether I should do something, my mind says, what does the Bible say? If it's a go, then it's in there. If it's a no-go, then it's not in there, or it says I shouldn't do it. I don't think that that's very hard, because God is very, very clear. So if you said to me, well, could I do this? I'd say, what does the Bible say? And if the Bible says you shouldn't do it, then I'll say, don't do it. If the Bible doesn't speak about it, I'll say, well, does it bring the appearance of evil? Don't do it. See, the Bible is so beautifully clear. It's not there to crucify us. It's not there to rob us. It's not there to bring condemnation. It's there just to bring forth life. Our parents growing up gave us instructions not to hurt us, not to be big ogres, but to put boundaries in our lives to keep us safe, that we might have a long life. Same with the Bible. God has given us boundaries. And so, again, I come back to that scripture that says, test everything that is said. Hold on to that which is good. The only way that we can do that is to know the Word of God. To Timothy, be diligent to present yourself approved of God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, we're going to talk about it in a minute, but when you sit under the Word, even if you don't understand it, it's cleansing you. It's feeding you. It's being a light and a lamp unto your feet. In fact, the Bible says that if we hide this Word in our heart, it will help us not to sin. And so, it doesn't matter if you understand it. Even reading it, you don't have to understand it because it's feeding you. Without you knowing it. I can guarantee you that there are plenty of meals that you've had that you don't know what you've eaten. But you've gone away feeling full and having some nutrient. We don't have to remember every word. We don't have to understand every sermon or everything that we read. We've just got to allow the Word of God to permeate our being. Last Sunday, Chris spoke on the Word of God. I encourage you to download the notes or download the podcast and listen to it. Refresh yourself on what she said. There's things that she said that I don't have to say, but it was a good message. I wonder how many were brought up as children to memorize Scripture, to learn memory verses. You know, that's something that I don't know whether we do enough of. You know, the Lord's Prayer, we would say every Sunday, in Sunday school. We would say it regularly in church. I wonder how many now could say the Lord's Prayer. You know, John 3:16, we would learn without a shadow of a doubt. There was scripture after scripture after scripture. Every one of you this morning or tonight, sorry, were given the victory sheet. If you didn't get one, please grab one. It's full of scriptures. Every scripture in that sheet I learnt in 1975. I was going through Bible college and I was really, really going through some tough stuff. See, I'd come from a Christian home, but Jesus really wasn't the Lord of my life. I went into Bible college just after committing Jesus to become Lord of my life, and I had an awful lot of garbage that needed to be destroyed and got rid of. And there's no doubt that that year of Bible college was not gaining head knowledge, it was gaining freedom. It was God taking me out of the world for a whole year and putting me in a place where I was going to learn how to break free, where I was going to learn how to become a victorious person. That picture on the front, those scriptures on the front in regard to the armor of God, I learnt them. Daily I'd put on my helmet. Daily I'd do exactly what I'm talking about right now. And I would actually, in the whole week, recite every one of those scriptures once as I learnt them, because they were the only way that I was going to break free. Pastor Oxy said to me, "Graham, if you want to break free from that bondage that's holding you down, you're going to know and need to know the scripture." Now, I might not be able to remember all of them right now. I certainly wouldn't be able to tell you where they are as far as references go. But I know enough about those now that I can tell the enemy to nick off, because he has no right to be around my life. We need to get back to basics. We need to start to learn to memorize scripture. I'm dealing with a young lady at the moment, helping her through some situations in her life, and you know, she staggers me, because I give her half a dozen scriptures every week to learn. Every week she comes back and she knows them off by heart, word perfect. She's working hard, but she's breaking free, because she's putting on her belt of truth and she's countering the effects of the enemy in her life. She knows she's saved. She knows she's worthy of God. But now she's putting on the belt of truth to walk in the victory that God has got for her. You know, when we put on the belt of truth, when we put on the Word of God, we have in here everything that we need. Every tool in God's armament to destroy the works of the devil. Just as much as this work belt of Mike's would have nails in it, would have equipment in it, so that if he's up on the roof doing a job, he doesn't have to climb up and down the ladder. God has given us everything we need. Even though you might not know it, the Bible says that God will bring it back to our memory, even the things that we don't know. We've got an incredible God with an incredible word. So let's look at 13 things that we can do. And, you know, when it comes to the Word of God, I ministered a sermon, I think must have been about 9 years ago, called Why I Believe in the Bible. 400 years ago this week, King James Version of the Bible was written. The Bible is the greatest seller of any book in the world. The Bible is a book composed of 66 books written over a period of 1,500 years by 40 different authors. Kings, princes, statesmen, men of science, herdsmen, shepherds, fishermen, men of learning, men without learning. Yet, it's flawless. And it has one theme that runs from the start to the end. In all of the time that it's been written, with all of the intelligence that we now have, or all of the computerization, there's still been no one that can find a flaw. It's full of numerics. It's full of prophecy. It's full of divine inspiration. It never grows old. It's got an incredible structure. It's a book that is God-inspired and divine. I encourage you not to let the enemy think or make you think that it's grown old. If you want a set of those notes, send me an email and I'll shoot them to you. There's some incredibly interesting stuff. So what is it that the Word of God does? Number one, it gives divine direction and guidance. And again, there's scriptures for all of these. It's in those notes. Provides light, illuminating our path. It gives us clarity and direction for life. You know, I don't know how many people I talk to who want to know what to do. The Bible gives us the direction of what to do. It provides spiritual cleansing. The Word of God has a laundering effect which purifies our thought life, our emotions, our attitudes. It purifies the motives and the intent of our heart. Jesus talks about being washed in the Word. It imparts spiritual freedom and liberty. The Word sets us free from spiritual, mental, and emotional bondage and oppression. It establishes a protective safeguard against sin. The Bible erects a spiritual hedge against the influences and the temptations that we face in life. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. If you want to read an incredible passage in the Bible, just read Psalm 119. Every verse in Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible, every verse has something in it about the Word of God, His laws, His statutes, His commandments, His testaments. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Psalm 119:11. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Beautiful, beautiful passage. Word of God equips us. The Bible gives us insight and instruction. It comprehensively equips us and prepares us for every area of ministry and spiritual service that God has called us to do. It imparts the peace of God. We're going to do the peace of God next week. Next Sunday morning, we're going to talk about the peace of God, protective armor, peace of God next Sunday morning. It builds our faith. The Bible stimulates, promotes, and strengthens us. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It imparts wisdom and insight. It quickens our mind. It quickens our spiritual discernment. It gives us wisdom. It gives us insight and understanding for every area of life. Look at a guy like Timothy. Look at how God used him, how young he was. So young that the Bible says not to despise his youth, that people might think he was too young. It imparts comfort in times of testing. The Scriptures ease our turmoil. The Scriptures supply soothing comfort to our mind and our emotions. It strengthens and edifies us. It imparts hope. It gives us answers to the challenges and the problems that confront us in life. It imparts stability and strength. So what happens when we neglect the Word of God? I think the neglecting the Word of God are many, but I think the biggest or the easiest way of summing it up is that we are spiritually weak if we don't eat of the Word of God. A failure to consistently eat of the Word of God is the same as if we fail to eat food in the natural. And I think that we see around us so many Christians that are spiritually anemic, spiritually malnourished, because they don't bother to get into the Word of God. And one of the greatest challenges I think that we can have is to read the Word of God every year. If you read 3 verses a day, you will read the whole Bible in a year. It's not hard. You don't have to understand it. You just have to be diligent and dedicated. And it will feed you. It will cause you to grow. Many of the problems we suffer in the world today are direct byproduct of living on a starvation diet. You know, we see people trying to lose weight to the point that they become sick, they become weak. We need to know that we can't live on a spiritual starvation diet. We need to fill ourselves to grow fat in the Word of God. The Israelites, they had to gather manna each day in order to survive. Jesus said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In order to live, I think that we must gather or have to gather a portion of God's word each day. Sound spiritual health depends upon a wholesome spiritual diet. So, as we close, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We put on the belt of truth by having a personal relationship with Christ. We have victory, and we put on the belt of truth by by living in His world, in His word. When we wear this belt of truth, we are equipped with all we need to get the job done. And as we do this, I guarantee that we will not only be protected, but we will walk in freedom and we will walk in the victory that Christ has won for us. Let's pray. Father, I pray that as we consider Your armor, consider the reason for it. Lord God, You knew that we would be going to battle. You knew that we need to have protected. I pray that You would overshadow each of us, that we would not be weary in well-doing. Father, that we would not walk around spiritually naked. But Lord, that we would walk using and wearing the armor and the protective clothing that You've given us, and that we would do that with pride. Father, I know that in doing that, Your promise is that we would have life and life to the full. So, Lord, just move by Your Spirit. Father, we pray this in Jesus' lovely name.